normally hit there.
Okay. Well, I use the camcorders in my classes all the time, so that works out fine. But like I was saying, academic integrity was an interest of mine when I was a doctoral student, and it became my dissertation topic. I did one on faculty experience of student academic dishonesty and what it meant to faculty. So I've got a very broad overview of student academic honor codes and academic integrity, and it's become basically my passion. So when I saw that there was an interest in honor codes on this campus, I was very, very excited, and got a hold of Rick Ide to, there he is.
Eden.
I'm sorry. Okay, Edie. Okay. Just to see what I could do to help, and he forwarded my interest to Dr. Smith, and so here I am. And one of the things I really want to do, I'll give a short little spiel about honor codes and academic integrity, but my favorite thing to do is to answer questions. And hopefully you've got questions about honor codes and how you do this kind of thing, because I did have experience in writing and getting an honor code passed at the University of Denver as well, which was an incredibly painful experience, but really fun at the same time. So basically what my role at the University of Denver was, well, I was a doctoral student, and I got my education paid for partially too, so it was wonderful. But I was the chief student judicial affairs officer there. And so part of my responsibility was student conduct, but the other one that dropped in my lap was getting this honor code passed. So I basically got to get both ends of it. I advised students on academic matters, and I advised faculty on academic matters, so that when a faculty member had a possible issue, they would come to my office and chat with me about it and find out what the process was. I didn't have any adjudicatory responsibility, so it worked fine to be able to talk to both sides. So a little bit about honor codes. One of the greatest things about an honor code is that it changes the culture of an institution and really instills pride in the institution and the degrees that are awarded there. But it also it does what you really want it to do, and it cuts cheating. Schools without honor codes have almost two-thirds the numbers of cheating incidents on them that honor code schools do. So it really is something that if you're interested in cutting academic dishonesty on a campus, that's a really good way to do it, and mainly because it instills pride in the institution on the student's part, but it also, if it's done as an honor code, it helps them to take governance and take responsibility for student integrity on campus. Most students don't come to school wanting to just get a degree and run. They actually want to get an education. So by instilling the honor code integrity ethos on campus, what you're doing is to help them have that framework to go by. And it helps faculty too to also have that framework and know what the policies are and to have support and backup when they do encounter student academic dishonesty in their classes, to know what to do with it. A lot of times in many schools, you don't have an overt policy, and faculty will deal with it on their own or however it happens. One of the things that I found in my research was that 32% of faculty who do know that cheating is going on in their classes don't do anything to address it at all. And a lot of that was because they don't have that backup. They don't have the support of a strong policy or the support of an institutional culture that really does not want to have violations of academic integrity on the campus. So that's a really important thing. One of the major reasons for cheating on college campuses are campus norms. If that's the way it's always been, that's the way it's going to continue. So if that's something that students, and they have a great grapevine as to which faculty allow cheating to just go unnoticed, those faculty members who don't address it oftentimes will have a lot of repeat business in the area. Because students will let you know. If this faculty member doesn't do it, anything about it, students will continue to try and get away with it. No honor code on campus is one of the major reasons for cheating, because nobody knows what the rules really are. There's not a strong culture that way. Nobody is really aware of what integrity policies are, what it means to plagiarize. A lot of times there is a lack of understanding about what cheating is. And there's also a lack of agreement. Faculty oftentimes will feel that there is something that is more egregious than a student does. Sometimes when you, have students collaborating in class, they don't feel that unauthorized collaboration is a problem. Well, a faculty member might very well think that that's just totally dishonest. So the honor code will basically help to create agreement and understanding about what those parameters are. Another thing is that if penalties are not severe, students might go ahead and decide that they want to risk it. And especially if they don't think that they can get caught, they'll oftentimes do it, especially in those classes where it's known that faculty won't address it. There are different types of honor codes that can be had on a campus, anywhere from just a code of academic integrity or a policy for academic integrity through a modified honor code to a full-blown honor code. The full-blown honor codes are very rare these days, and mainly because the characteristics that full-blown honor codes have are often very hard to instill on a new campus when they haven't had that policy before. The things that those honor codes have basically are the statement, the honor code statement, a pledge that students will sign after all their academic submissions, unproctored exams, which can be very, very hard for some faculty members to let go of, non-toleration, which is very hard for students to agree to, or the obligation to report other students. That one's very difficult to put forward on a campus that hasn't had that before. And then finally, total student governance. Students are involved in not only the adjudication, but they're also helping to formulate those policies to decide on how honor codes will be dealt with on the campus, the enforcement, and the adjudication of any violations. And that would be a total student operation. There would be no faculty, no staff helping with that. They would totally take it over. That's a full honor code. University of Virginia is one of the only ones that I know of that are that far into it. They're mostly private schools and smaller schools, but they have that as their culture. Most schools these days have what's known as a modified honor code, which has a couple of those same characteristics, which would be the actual code, oftentimes the use of a pledge after written submissions. And they don't have complete student governance. They might have mainly the students operating the honor code, but they would have faculty advisement or sometimes staff advisement. Generally, it's faculty. And they don't generally have unproctored exams, although that can be an option left up to the individual faculty members. But like I said, the main benefit of having an honor code on a campus is to change the campus climate, make everybody aware that academic integrity is something that an institution really holds dear and very highly. And the best way to do that is to have an honor code and have it supported fully by faculty, administration, students, everybody on board, and everybody aware of what it means to have academic integrity on the campus. And that's the best part of having an honor code. And then it just builds that strong framework that everybody has in common and understands. So that's basically a little bit about the honor code. My role on the campus at DE, like I said, I was the student judicial affairs director, and I kind of had it dumped in my lap because it had been being tossed about for about 9 years. It would go from faculty senate back to student government and back and forth, and they could not get together on how to make it happen because there were a lot of difficulties. We had students who would put forward something that basically told faculty what they had to do. We had faculty putting forward something that told that students weren't agreeing. So my role was basically as a mediator and to get all those sides together and to educate, find out what was, you know, what the fear was on both sides and to help them come together with that. What we ended up with basically was an honor code that after a years-long education campaign, I think I went to every single department, every possible council on campus and talked about what an honor code was, what we were planning on implementing at DU, and basically education and buy-in consensus building. That was the main work of getting it going because everybody wants academic integrity. You can't show me a college campus where they don't value academic integrity. So that really was an easy sell. It was just getting everybody to understand what it meant. We had some faculty who really felt that an honor code was akin to a loyalty oath and were very much against it. So it took a lot of work and, you know, a lot of viewing of their tonsils on occasion to get them to understand it wasn't a loyalty oath, but what it was a framework to make sure that everybody held academic integrity in a high esteem. And what we ended up with at the end was faculty senate approving it. We had the undergraduate student government approving it, graduate student body approving it, dean's councils, the president's office, and we even had the board of trustees. And everybody not only approved it, but they also held themselves accountable to it, which I think was a really key point in getting the honor code adopted at that university, because it wasn't students feeling like they had a new set of rules that they had to live under. It was the entire institution deciding that this was something we want to uphold and we want to be a part of. So I think that that was one of the key features of that particular honor code, to have Board of Trustees members say, yes, we want to abide by this as well, really showed the importance of it and helped to get it started in the culture. That said, once you do get an honor code on campus, it takes about 6 years before it really does become a part of the culture. You need to work through at least one cycle of undergraduate students before it starts to feel like something that everybody is aware of. And in that time, there's ongoing education consensus building, you know, not only for the students but also for faculty, so they know what the policies are and how to work with us. So I think if you have questions, I would love to answer those. I think that's my favorite thing to do, rather than speak.
One of the things in addressing this was the idea, where should it start? Because, you know, Dr. Carpano was talking about, you know, ideally this should, and he brought this up, we should start with the students, because the students will be involved in the process and like believe it more. What's the process if we want to make this happen? What do you recommend should be the series of steps or the avenue or whatever?
Well, there has to be both, but I think you're right. It needs to start with students. They have to have an interest in being a part of it. And I think if students are involved from the very beginning formulating the policy, it helps them to, you know, decide whether or not this is something that they want to be a part of. And if there's that ownership, you're going to have a stronger code. At the same time, you really have to work almost concurrently with faculty, because faculty are the ones who have to, in most cases, implement it. So if you don't have buy-in on the faculty side at the same time that you're getting the student interest and the student help in formulating it, it's going to fall flat then too. So it has to almost be a concurrent type of thing. Which is one of the things that excites me about this one, because it looks to me like there might be interest from both sides at the same time, which is wonderful.
I was just going to ask, since I'm a representative, if you've mentioned this at your meeting, that, you know, this has been brought out in faculty senate and what the reaction has initially been. I know they may not know a lot about what one of these even is, so was there any specific reaction to these options?
I didn't have
It
takes about 6 years, and those students, you're right, the ones that are currently doing it probably are going to keep trying to do it. Some of the statistics that are out there are that on non-honor code schools, you probably have, for chronic cheating, most people who keep doing it over and over again, you probably have 1 in 5. But in an honor code school, you have 1 in 16. So what it does is to bring about awareness about what it means. A lot of times when you have students plagiarizing or not cheating so much, I think they really know what they're doing when they do that, but the plagiarism, for the most part. You might have students who don't really and truly understand what it means to cite correctly or use quotations and give credit to another author if they're using their work. They don't always understand. And a lot of times the students that we get in here, they don't just start cheating when they're freshmen. They've been doing this probably, in some instances, since high school for sure, middle school possibly, and sometimes even into elementary school. Some of the research is showing that it starts very early, and if it's not addressed early, it just continues. So if they're doing it when they get here, likely they might continue, but if you've got an honor code in place, what you've got is a culture that doesn't accept it and doesn't tolerate it, and that will inhibit some of their chronic cheating, especially if it's something that faculty are serious about, and other students are serious about. Because if you're in a course, you see students cheating and getting away with it, that's probably going to make you a little bit mad at them, to say the least, because what they're doing is, you know, not only skewing the grades, but they're devaluing your degree. But, you know, if a school gets a reputation as a school where it's easy to get away with cheating, then it devalues your degree. But if you're at a school where it's obvious in the majority, because they have an honor code and they state it right out very explicitly, you're not gonna see that kind of thing, because people aren't going to want their degree to be devalued in that way.
I think anything that enhances our university and gives our students more of a sense of pride and enhances their degree is a good idea. So that's one of the things that we're interested in pursuing and learning more about, because it's beneficial.
It's something that is happening more and more at colleges across the country. For the most part, it's always been at private schools having an honor code. It's mostly a private school thing. But it is starting to go into the state schools. Some of the larger ones have modified honor codes. The University of Maryland, the University of Kansas are some schools, very large ones, in fact, that have been implementing successfully an honor code on their campus. So, and it is starting to change their culture. Those are... Maryland's been going for a while, but Kansas is fairly new, but it is starting to make an impact on their student body.
I think some of the good students are now, too, when it came up last spring, the president said, if I recall the discussion, the only thing was that Tech really doesn't have a chief of office. There really is a culture here, which, again, is an anecdotal evidence, but there was a feeling that it's a problem, something needs to be done. And that's based on, for most faculty at some point having met other students, doing a little bit of comparison.
Now, just as a new graduate member, I've already had in graduate classes, which is a really shameful thing to have to admit to, but I've had cheating in my classes. And I was shocked that there were graduate students who were doing that, and some of them were Tech grads from their undergrad. So it was something that they thought they would try to get away with. They won't try it again, but it was something that they tried. One of the things with an honor code that you also have is a central location, so that this kind of information is housed in a central area. Because if you've got faculty in different departments across the campus who are addressing academic dishonesty, it might not go from, say, history into English. So you're not going to know that there was a student cheating in one department, and then they know that that information is not being shared in any way, so that they'll try it again in another department. They might get away with it in one or not the other, but that information is not shared. So if there is that chronic cheating that's going on, nobody's aware of it. When you have an honor code, that kind of stuff is shared, and it's very less likely they're going to be getting away with that kind of cheating. And it's not simply, one of the things about having an honor code is that it's not simply a punitive measure. It's something to really enhance, like you were saying, enhance the distinctiveness of the institution. It's a selling point. Institutions that have honor codes basically have students self-select. They have a higher grade of student who comes to their institution simply because they want to be associated with a school that holds academic integrity as a high value. So you get a better grade of student, if you will, because that's what they want to look for. And a lot of them do look for that, or at least see that and say, wow, that sounds like a great thing. I want to be associated with an institution that feels that way, too. Because those students are typically the students who value education and want it to mean something.
Do we know what the other schools in Arkansas are that have?
I know that Lyon College is one. Harding, I think, has one. There are a couple of other schools that have academic integrity policies. I recently saw that the University of Arkansas has had some interest, at least from faculty, about getting one. And they do in their graduate school have an honor code. But there aren't very many. There is a national organization called the Center for Academic Integrity that is a coalition of college campuses across the country. Actually, it's international. This goes into Canada and some South American countries as well. But they are a coalition of students, faculty, and staff members who meet regularly to promote academic integrity across the country and in different campuses. And I would highly recommend being involved with them. They also have a number of instruments that can come on campus and measure what the level of cheating is on that campus. And if you are interested in putting forward an honor code or doing one, it's always good to have a baseline so that then you can compare after you've implemented in our code to see how much of a difference it really does make. And it is interesting to know what the levels are.
Since it seems to increase the idea of tradition at the university as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems like some of the private institutions that have honor codes also have strong traditions that this seems to fit in with. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure we have some of those here at Tech, or if we do, maybe they would.
And I noticed that's one of the things in retention that they're trying to do is to help build that identity, help build a student's identity with the university. And having an honor code is another one of those things because it does have those traditions that are built in. Some of the things that we did at DU was to have all incoming freshmen sign a banner. It's a huge 16-foot thing with the honor code on the top. And at student convocation, freshman orientation, I don't know what it was called at the time, every single student signed their name to that pledge. They didn't have to, but they all came down to do it. They're all required to abide by it, but they weren't required to sign it. So we also had faculty and numerous people sign their own banner as well. There are also banners and plaques and such that go in the classrooms to remind people. So it is all this tradition.
I would like to clarify one thing. The evidence for cheating at our subject is not there anymore. I told one of my classes and students referred to significant levels of cheating that they observed going on. And as a matter of fact, in that very class that semester, I caught several students cheating, and I had their signed confession in my desk, in my office. So it's something that does happen. Now, if you mean it's a problem at Arkansas Tech just because it's greater than some other school,
it's not.
I think any level of cheating is a problem. I guess it's an opportunity to improve the program. Now, I logged on to University of Colorado, I think it was at Boulder, and found a whole timeline in which they had goals for implementation of various steps in the development of the honor code.
I've got the same thing. And actually, I consulted with them and helped them to get their honor code going as well. So,
okay,
yeah.
So you're all okay. See, it seems to me like we have to have something like that because last year when I went to student government about it, it really wasn't that well received. Dr. Miller happened to be there at the meeting I attended, and he told me afterwards, he said, you know, that didn't go over real well. The students weren't real enthusiastic and disposed toward it. It was toward the end of the semester. But it really didn't go anywhere from there. And so I think this is something that, you know, when this faculty senate changes next year, some people go off, and then the student government body changes, composition changes. There has to be some continuity in this, and I think that continuity could be greatly buttressed if we just look at that schedule or development schedule that could be followed up on from year to year by administrators, students, and faculty.
Sure.
And, you know, just got our ducks in a row and started going after it. I really don't see any rational argument for not striving to have an honor code here. Everything I have seen here is indicative of it being
And it's a good thing. It's a safeguard for students as well, because if you've got an honor code on campus, you don't have multiple faculty employing whatever measure they want to use. So everybody is on the same page. So if you've got a student who is being accused of a academic dishonesty incident, they know what the steps are going to be. So they know what penalties might be incurred or that kind of thing. And faculty have the same knowledge, so that nobody has to do this on their own. And nobody feels like it's something that's maybe more severe in one area than in another. You know exactly what it is. So it really is, it's a safeguard, and it's beneficial for both faculty and students.
When you were involved in consulting on these things and helping implement them on the campuses, was this part of your job description?
It became part of my job description.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I wrote it in, basically.
it seems to me that at Arkansas, you need something like that because we need somebody that actually has ownership and so it's just kind of evaporate or move off the faculty senate and, you know, do you agree?
I totally agree. And that's one of the reasons I think that it finally succeeded at my old campus is because I was basically put in charge of making sure it would happen. And it was part of my job, so if it didn't happen, that was my job. So I was very vested in making sure it happened. But also it helps everybody to know there's some one person that they can go to that has all of the information and knows what's going on. So you've got that one person to use as a central database, basically. And different schools do it in different ways. Sometimes if it is something truly more owned by the student government, you might have a faculty advisor who's in charge of it. However that's appointed, I would have faculty members who would sit on the board. I had a pool of those folks who would sit in on the academic student judicial boards. It was run by students, but that faculty person was there as an advisor and as a resource for the students. They didn't have a vote on the board. The students did that, but they were there to make sure that everything went according to plan and that there was a faculty voice when students were reviewing information. And it worked wonderfully. I had glowing reports from all my faculty advisors when they would come out. They wanted to keep doing it again and again, simply because they were so impressed with how the students took ownership and were very serious about it. And that's typical of a student judicial board. They do take it very seriously. I've always felt that if you raise the bar, people are going to rise to meet it. And that's basically what we did, and it occurred.
One other issue, it was mentioned that last year we wanted the student government to take the initiative on this, and Dr. Norton was correct in saying that we didn't decide to do that. Mm-hmm. But it looked at one point as though the students were not going to do that. They were maybe not even on board with the rationale for doing that.
Yeah.
And then we earlier this year had discussions to the effect that, well, gee, do they have a right to veto the whole thing? You know, if they don't go with it. But I'm kind of glad to see that the current Student Government Association does seem like it's very well disposed towards it. Right? Yeah. All right.
Or at least curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. We're not educated about it.
Right. That's one thing that if you want a successful honor code, if you look at it as a scare tactic, it's obviously not going to work. Because students are going to, you know, get their dander up and say, no, you're not going to be doing this to me. And faculty are going to say, yes, we want you to do. You have to have consensus, and you have to have both sides willing to go at it, but not as a punitive kind of a thing, but as an integrity, a campus ethos that you want everybody to know that you value this. One of the things that I noticed, and I would love to point out in the tech handbook, is that there's a policy for academic dishonesty. And I think that in order to take away that punitive look to it, it would be more appropriate to have an academic integrity, say what you value rather than what you're trying to push down. You really want to support integrity, not come pound home on dishonesty.
Actually, I'd like to follow up on your question there, though. When I came to the Student Government Association, I had a whole packet of things with references to the Duke University Institute for Academic
Jennifer Academy, right?
Their willingness to even come on campus and send consultants and evaluate your system and all that. And really, what I asked from the Student Government Association was, I said, I'm right here now just asking everyone to become knowledgeable of this issue and to, you know, just look into it and become aware of it and educated. But now we see what the situation is, though. The people that were on student government then are not on student government now. And so that's, again, why I express a little bit of frustration that we haven't had a real continuity. But, I mean, we're moving forward, it seems to me. And I say that again, though, that your fellow students on the SBA, you know, we're getting into the spring semester again here, though, and I think that it's important that the resources be pointed out and that actually look into it.
And that's basically the timeline that I got handed. I was handed the whole thing in basically, I think it was May of 1999. So I said, here you go, make this work next year. It couldn't work next year. I've got a timeline that goes through May 1999 and all the steps that I've gone through or went through to install it. And we actually implemented our honor code in fall of 2000. So there was a year's time, but during that time, we built awareness and education and did all of those steps that you really needed to do to make it successful rather than just implementing and saying, okay, now go from there. You really needed to do that front-end work before it actually worked. And we had students who were really gung-ho and ready to run with it. I had a student group that shared responsibilities with me for going to different organizations or different, particularly student groups, and educating them about what an honor code was. And I took on the faculty and the staff. They did the student end. But it was a group that worked together.
Just since we have a student government representative too, his interview would be probably appropriate to suggest if the student government sort of come up with, I think you would need to come up with this one comment. And if you really want to do it, you're probably going to schedule time to come talk to the senator. We certainly don't even have our quorum today, but when we did have our quorum, the Senate was really leaning, even without the effort, whether student government was on board or not, to come up with some sort of policy. That's the way it stood at the time.
Sure.
This is some.
And I know that
the Senate was very eager to come up and put something in place. So because of the frustration when we came back and responded to discussions, that's a direct call from Paul, that it was, something needs to happen one way or the other.
And that's,
and I think it would be, I can understand student government was opposed to it, but at that point it would be a good idea for student government to actually meet with the Senate, and then I would be, if you decide it's a bad thing, why is it a bad thing?
I would be more than happy to come and talk to student government as well, and answer any questions about what an honor code is and isn't. I would be more than happy to do that. My professional life has been as a student affairs administrator and not as a faculty member so much. So it's a very comfortable role for me. So I would love to do that.
I would like to say that there seems to be an impression that we voted against this or that we were up in arms, throwing our hands up, saying, no way, Jose. And I just want to make sure you understand that wasn't the case. As I recall back to a year ago, I think the presentation was interrupted by a fire alarm going off about science, but the presentation was even completely silent. And then when we talked about the problem with it passing over, that president didn't pass on the information to me. I don't know where that
is. Well, you didn't. Is that correct?
Right. And so I just don't think that the current body in place has some horrible opposition to this honor code so that we can start from even playing field and work together. I don't want, this body coming, assuming that we're against it. That means we need to come on the legal field and come together. So I want to say that, first of all. And I think that I've already, learned a lot more about it. It was just, it's kind of an abstract thought. And if you've never considered it before, coach, you don't really know how that's going to affect you. I think one of the most interesting things that I've learned is that it does take that 6 years. And you don't see the effect. It was something that when you first hear about, you think, well, that's not going to work. Well, it may not work, automatically, and that's something that I've learned today. So people who are deciding such decisions probably will, but we can teach new students to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I think, presenting it that way and that kind of thing would make a lot more sense to students and
students. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're sanctioning or telling students that are cheating that it's okay. It's that you're putting those regulations or those guidelines into place that they are aware that this is the case. If this happens, this is what's going to, this is what's going to occur. Here are the penalties. But also, here are the educational avenues that will go down to make sure you're aware of what is cheating, what's not cheating, and something that everybody on campus agrees on. So it's not something just, somebody plucked out of the air. This is what the entire university adheres to and believes in. So it really isn't, meant to, and it shouldn't be a total punitive, sanctioning. If you cheat, you get kicked out. That's the University of Virginia. We don't want to go there. But it really is something helpful and useful for students. And it was a total opposite direction at DU. The students were gung-ho and really interested in bringing it forward. And it was the faculty members who were like, no, you're not gonna tell us what we have to do. So, it's interesting to see it coming from both ends. And, I can only say that from my experience and having been a member of the Center for Academic Integrity as well, it's one of the only only associations I've ever seen where there is equal governance by students, faculty, and staff. It's the only conference I think I've ever attended where students and staff and faculty all talk together as equals. And this is something that really brings everybody on the table because it gives you that one foundational value of the institution that everybody can agree on. So it really is, you know, it builds consensus on a campus, builds pride in the institution. I think it would be a wonderful thing for Tech to consider.
What does it look like exactly? Once all of the bodies think this is something we should do before it's been approved, and if we say, okay, time is next, what would it, you know, look like? What would the steps that would be done? Does that make sense? Yeah, what would the students be told, and what would the faculty commit to?
Sure. Well, it's going back to those traditions. One of the things you have to do is to start really building it into the traditions of the institution. I noticed that we don't have a convocation in the fall. We did have one of those at DU, and academic integrity was the main focus of that entire convocation. So most of the speeches, all that, everything was about that particular thing. But it can be built into freshman orientation. You can have a session where students are basically told, this is our tradition, new tradition. Granted, but this is now our tradition at campus, and we want you to take ownership of it and understand exactly what it means. And there would be those informational sessions for students so that they were aware. A lot of faculty members would put the statement in their syllabi. They talked about it. Everybody was encouraged to do so. They weren't required to do so, which is another thing. You can't require, when you're just starting out, you can't require somebody to do something. You can strongly encourage them. Because we didn't require students to sign the pledge. We didn't require faculty to initially report. Sometimes what we ended up with was a system where faculty had a violation that they felt was occurring in their classroom. They could deal with it in there and then just forward some information to us. They wouldn't have to necessarily send it straight to the Student Judicial Board unless it was a second violation. So on a first violation, they could deal with it on their own. If it was a second violation, it went straight to that board. But these are all things that can be worked out by the committee on creating the policy. We had a coalition of faculty and staff and students, as well as our legal counsel, who worked together to create the code of conduct as far as academic integrity policy on our campuses. They created the honor code, and they worked together to do it. So that was another piece, I think, that helped build ownership of it across the campus. So it can't be done by one group imposing it. It has to be a coalition.
So I know we can't make a motion today because we don't have a quorum, but can we make a pre-motion or something that is within the minutes that says that when we do have a quorum, and since you guys are pre-proceeding today because of that you were here and because you've been kind enough to come here today, is that at quorum I would be making a motion that would say, let's form a committee with the incoming, and then if you would be willing to serve on the committee,
love to.
And then get the people who are involved, let's get it going, you know, get people educated, get the committee educated, you know, get the students involved, and then educate SGA, and let's get it rolling.
I've got graduate students who I unfortunately had to take my ethics class, and I expounded on it for a long time. And so I've got several of them who are really interested in working with students to you know, help build awareness and answer questions, that kind of thing. So
yeah. So thank you for both the information and the willingness.
This is my thing. So.
Yeah, well, we're excited.
Can I second that? Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys for putting this on. Yeah. Because I certainly learned a lot of things about it, the whole picture and the fact that it was, you know, in terms of the timeline, you know, what we should be expecting and you know, in terms of implementing
And I mean, there's a lot that goes into, you know, working with faculty as well, and a lot of workshops about how to detect plagiarism, what students are more likely to cheat. So, you know, business students, engineering students more likely to cheat than any others on a campus. Interesting facts. Higher achieving students and lower achieving students are the most likely to cheat. Fraternity sorority members, for obvious reasons sometimes. Not so much on this campus, I'm thinking, because they don't have their own separate houses.
Yes.
But those are tending to have the test file situations going.
When you talk about educating faculty, I think that's important for the students to know that when you talk about student honor code, it might come across to the students that we're saying you're a problem and you need to take care of it. I know in our department we have really looked into the concept of cheating, defining cheating.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on it for about 3 years now. We have a defined cheating.
Right. And faculty among themselves can't often define what, you know, when you look at a scale of the egregiousness of cheating, people are all over the board. So, you know, it really helps to come up with that definition on this campus. This is what it means.
And I think in many cases you might find it's harder to implement with faculty.
That's exactly what I found.
Because those of us that have been teaching a long time here, you know, we're setting our ways and our ways of dealing with cheating. And
yeah, as I said, we had a lot of faculty who thought this was a loyalty oath. We had a lot of 60s faculty who were really against it. So. So put your piece of beads away. This is not what we're talking about.
You know, exactly. It sounds like, you know, the next time we can take action on something to form a committee, it sounds like to me, though, that you need to maybe meet with the student government.
I would love to do that.
And
yeah.
That is, you know, they have some information.
Yeah. Well, the student group that I worked with wasn't actually a part of student government. They had some folks who were student government, but it wasn't specifically student government, so that it wasn't tied to that year's group of senators or whatever. It was students who were interested in it, and they pushed it forward. So.
But I think student government is a place to start.
They're key. They have to. Right, exactly. Because what we ended up having to do was to put the adoption of an honor code before the student government and the all student association, and every student on campus voted for it, and it passed 600 to 300. So we had every student vote on it, which was very scary.
Yeah. A referendum, I don't do that, but I do think students need to sort of decide.
They have, yes, they do. They do. They're key. No, they're key because they're the leaders on campus. So.
I think the education will be important. I mean, otherwise we're going to get that. Wait a minute, you know, you think we're bad here.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, and that's definitely not what, you know, it should be. It should be looked at in a different light.
Actually, based on what we've all feel like we've learned just today, and based on my experience after talking with the Student Government Association. Federal wait a bit. What's this going to mean in terms of our
students? That's going to be another. That's exactly right.
It's really everybody that has.
And that's why this is. If you're planning on implementing an honor code, it really is institutional culture change. It's huge. Just talking to my students, I get very passionate, very excited, and I start talking really fast because I'm pulling ideas from all over the place. There's so much that goes into this because it really is a huge institutional change. Very, very worthwhile.
I think it's funny. I love that tradition. I love, you know, that person.
Yeah. And it would really set tech apart in the state, too. I would love to see that happen, because one of the things that drew me to this institution was all the opportunity. It just seems ripe here.
I do think we've made, faculty says one thing, full faculty is another, and there may be some faculty resistance, but I do like the idea, and certainly I think the president from the faculty to have little elbow room in policy that if there is a first offense, the faculty member can deal with it a little in-house, and then if it's the second or third offense, that point would have to be sort of formally reported. Mm-hmm. I think that probably makes a lot more powerful than any faculty.
I think part of it, too, is the education part. I agree with you that, you know, in terms of what to look for. I mean, there are obvious cases. I think most of what we have been struck with in our classes is probably obvious cases. But there, I'm sure there are things that go that we don't know about. And so to be educated about what we should potentially be looking for, and not so that we can pull somebody out and say, you're doing something wrong, but again, part of that entire idea of, we want you to value your education here. We value you as students.
And I think I came from an undergraduate, it was private school, but it did have an honor code. It almost sounds like it did a full-blown honor code, but I'm not exactly sure.
Where did you go?
St. Louis College.
Yeah, it does.
Full-blown.
Yeah.
But I remember that was instilled in us from orientation week, that there was an honor code here. And, you know, one thing it really did make you do is at least think two or three times before you, you know, if you were to cheat or something. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was reviewing the honor code that they have at Harding, and it talked about how they instilled it, and the cheating went down, and it wasn't that Harding students were less likely to cheat, they were just more likely to feel guilty about it afterwards.
And if you were caught cheating, it affected, you know, other students were mad at you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because it would hold up you getting your test back. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it would, you know, and if you forgot to sign the pledge, the professor would be running down the hall.
Well, it can affect the atmosphere in the classroom too, because it really does have an effect on faculty. My research showed that, you know, faculty members really start looking at students in a different light after this has occurred, and it really changes the learning atmosphere in there. So it's really important.
One of my friends went to Westminster in Oakland, Missouri, and they had one. And I can remember the excitement among the parents. We gathered where they were gathering, with cameras and everything. We wanted to listen to him take that pledge.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was student run.
Yep.
But they marched them down the sidewalk. Students were lining the sidewalk and saying, the freshman class wants to.
It's those traditions, and it's a great way to start those. Yeah.
And I
love those. The banners, they hang in the student union back at DU, and every year they have their banner. And I've kind of, you know, been off to the side watching students go by, and they look up and say, where's mine? Where's my name? There's where I wrote it. And that was just like goosebumps when I heard a student actually pointing at the honor code banner and saying, that's where I signed that. It's kind of freaky.
I think one of the intangible parts is you haven't been to school with an honor code. I went to graduate student Vanderbilt.
That's an honor code.
And being graduate school is a little different, but my impression was the undergraduate was impressed by the pressure that the undergraduates actually exercise on each other.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's theirs, and they're vested in making sure that, you know, everybody adheres to that.
I think that's really probable for me. I just don't think there's that much pressure among undergraduates.
Well, and that's because they're not feeling the value of it, because it's not one of those things that's held out and said, academic integrity is important here, and this is how we mean to show that it's an explicit value. I mean, every school has it as an implicit value, obviously. It's an assumption. But if you don't bring it out and say, this is really important, they're not going to know. They're not going to read all the fine print. But if you hold it out, they do. And I think it's really important for students to see faculty making that same initiative and saying, we hold ourselves to that value, too. I think one of the things that really helped students on the DU campus was having faculty members approve it and hold themselves accountable to it as well, which, you know, frankly, we should. I don't know, hopefully we all do.
I think part of coming from a high school mindset to a college mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, walking a little bit more into some mature ideas and areas, you know, because
and
this is what we all want.
Mm-hmm. And this is exactly right.
So I think it is a nice step toward that.
I agree. Whatever you need from me, I'm willing to give. So.
I want to thank you, from you've already had the same support. Thank you very much for coming and visiting with us. I'm sorry more people were here. Is it something that we might consider inviting?
Okay, great.
That was what we are making on our campus, is a tradition. I want to attend because I want to be a part of it. That the youth and teachers that we don't have any. And what an amazing thing to start. It's not a football tradition or a basketball tradition, but it's an honor. And have the tradition. I think that. And I like the way it's kind of a social norm change. It's not just, you know, a piece of paper or a pledge or something. It's the attitude and attitude around campus between all bodies and all parts. That makes so much more sense to me than a piece of paper or a pledge. And I think that's where the confusion was, is really changing not just the students but the faculty. And that, I think if we can explain that cohesiveness between all bodies wanting to hold themselves to higher standards, it will go over very well. Everybody, you know, like you said, raising the bar, and we're not expecting students to reach it, but everybody to reach it and work at it together. Just creating an entire atmosphere on campus, not just. Another thing that I thought was wonderful, you know, it's kind of buried in our academic policy, is written negative terms, our academic dishonesty, so however you put it. You know, let's hold ourselves to a higher standard and put the positive, you know, speak in a positive way instead of, you know, saying what we do wrong. You know, let's say what we do right and bring out those numbers and bring out those people who are doing something wrong instead of, you know, keeping it down. So I understand it so much more, and I think it could be exactly what our needs to be in the form of tradition. And, you know, just like you said, I feel like so much of Tech is right now. We're just waiting to blossom and something big to happen. I think this is
great.
Great.
It sounds fun. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I guess...